Thank you, Jesus. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 tonight. Oh, Jesus. I want to read this. I'm changing my whole to this Wednesday night. We've been preaching for a long time on how to have a revelation, whatever. I'm changing. I'll be preaching this next however long on prayer. And the Lord's been speaking to me about some things. I want to show you some stuff. And anyway, let's go here to the 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel. And he spread out his hand, for Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high. And he set it in the midst of the court, and he stood on it. He knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and he spread out his hands towards heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or earth like you, who keeps your covenant mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you have promised to your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and filled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to the way that they walk in my laws as you have walked before me. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken before your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less the temple which I have built. You regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened towards this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you would hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place." Solomon goes on praying in there and prays some more. We'll look at it in just a minute. But if you can imagine this day, no building had been built like Solomon's temple. It was huge. It was ornate. It was glorious. David had prepared his whole life to set money and timbers and gold and silver and everything that they would need for ivory and all the cups and the vessels and the utensils and all the stuff. He'd set it aside, and then Solomon and got it all assembled and got it put together, and it took years, and they built this huge temple. And now Solomon's up there and he's kneeling down, he's praying for all the people, and he prays, "Lord, just look on this place. This is a place you said you'd put your name, and if anybody prays in this place, gets answered." Now think about that. Just think about that. Solomon and all the things he could have done, he didn't pray, "Lord, make everybody in the land healthy." He didn't pray, "Lord, make everybody in the land a millionaire." He said, "Lord, I just want a place that when people pray, that they can come to it, and when they pray in that place, their prayer gets answered." What a blessing, right? I mean, that covers everything, right? Everything anybody would need, just a place where your prayers could be answered. Now, wouldn't it be great if the Christian world today had that much confidence in their God, that they had a place to pray? I mean, you don't have to have a place, what I'm talking about, in your heart, in your life, in your house, in your whatever, that you prayed and you knew that your prayer was being heard. Right? 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have when we pray, that he hears our prayer. But to have that kind of confidence, how many times, and you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to say, because we're all guilty of this, that we do a lot of praying a lot of times, but really have no confidence in God doing anything. We're just feeling better because we're saying our tale of woes to somebody who might, something might happen. We've all prayed like that before. We've prayed prayers that were really confident prayers, prayers of faith, but we've also just prayed prayers that were just right out of our head, and it was just, "Oh God, help me, Jesus, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's going to happen, I don't know what this is going to do." Our prayers have been, "You know, Lord, can't you do something about this situation? Am I right?" In our humanness, in our natural man, a lot of times we pray things that are really, really pretty stupid. Right? So Solomon goes on, and he didn't put anything about the kinds of prayers, and that's why you see in Jerusalem when the wailing wall, they call it the wall that supposedly was left over of the remnant of Solomon's temple. If you go to Israel and you can take a piece of paper and stick it in the wall, and there's thousands and thousands of pieces of paper stuck in the wall because that's where they're praying, that they're believing that that scripture right there, that is a place that prayers get heard. How much more glorious is to have prayer get heard wherever you are? Amen? And so he goes on, and I want you to look over, and he prays through all this. You can read it later, but go to chapter 7. And let's look when he finishes, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 7, 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of God because the glory of the Lord had filled the whole house of the Lord. Now remember, prior to this, in the days of Moses, when they had the tabernacle, you know, the glory of the Lord was in the Holy of Holies. And they knew it was in there, and the high priest only went in there once a year. So really, the glory of the Lord never came out upon the people, right? But now, the glory of the Lord filled the whole place, right? I truly believe that if you could just, like, I don't know if this is a good explanation, but if you could just put smoke to the presence of God moving in here tonight, you'd have the same glory. It just lets you be able to see something. Y'all with me? But it fell in such a way, it says here, that the priests couldn't even stand. They couldn't even enter the house of the Lord, couldn't stand. Look at this in verse 3. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord on the temple, and they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement, and they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good, for his mercy endures forever." It caused a response to everybody there. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered, look what he offered, 22,000 bulls, 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. The king and all his people dedicated the house of the Lord. Now, I did just a little bit of research in this, and if I'm reading the text right, And looking and got my figures right, they started like on the 6th and finished on the 23rd. Now, I'm not sure that it took them that long, but folks, I'm just telling you, I don't care how many butchers they had. If you're going to kill 120,000 sheep, it takes some time. Right? And it's not just, it isn't just going over there and cutting some old goat's throat, letting him fall on the ground. I mean, you had to do with all this preparation and get all the intros out and do this and do that. No, it was like a minimum of 3 weeks that they were offering sacrifices continually. 120,000 sheep. Somebody tell me, what's the price of a sheep today? What would a ewe be worth today? $75? So 75 times 100,000 would be 7.5 million or 750,000. So that was 120. So 700. So we're talking about, you know, an 850,000. Is it millions? It's millions. Yeah, it's over $8 million. Is that right? 75 times 100 and, huh? $9 million, so says the iPhone. Okay, Frankie, what would be a bull be worth? Like I say, it was because they didn't kill like an old bull. Let's just say a yearling bull, a 1-year-old bull. What would a bull be worth? $800 times, what did they say? How many? Thank you, son. 17 million and 9 million. 26 million dollar offering. And if you want to say it this way, and it took them 3 weeks to gather it all in. All because everybody's excited that they had a place their prayers were being answered. I'm going to take some time on this message. I'm not in any hurry to preach this and get it all in form. I just really want us to be thinking about stuff. Steve Jobs, just, you know, the creator of the iPhone and Apple and all that, you know, died at 56. How much would he have given for his prayer to have been answered and cancer be healed? Mike could have found the answer if he wasn't a Buddhist. See, my point is that no matter how much money you have, no matter how much how genius your mind is and how whatever, man, all of a sudden it comes down to where the greatest thing that you could have in life is your prayer to be answered. Right? And so Solomon and all the people were so overwhelmed, but they have a place now that God said, and whenever you pray, I'm going to answer your prayer. They gave a, what was it, 26 million? $26 million offering, give or take a few sheep and bulls. Is that wild? $26 million offering. Just because everybody's excited that God's in the house and their prayer's going to get answered. Right? Okay. So I want to go, and I just want us to begin to look at prayer. Okay? And I want us to look at praying not out of our heads, but out of our hearts. You've got to remember that you are a man on three dimensions. All right? You are a spirit first. Everybody on the face of this earth has a spirit. Whether it's a born-again spirit or it's a lost spirit, it's a spirit. You're a spirit, right? Who has a soul that lives in a body. This thing you walk around in, this earth suit, it's all it is. It's just an earth suit. It's a housing. It's a, you know, just like if you went and put on a space suit, this is what it is. In the morning, you know, like if your spirit man got up and had to put you on. I apologize to my spirit every morning. I'm sorry. I say, it's the best I got. They're passing out earth suits. This is what we got stuck with. You're going to have to make the best of it. The problem is my spirit is so large, it's crammed in this little old body of mine. Makes it bulge everywhere. I mean, you know, it's just one of those phenomenons, you know? So... your spirit man is alive. That's the spirit. That's you. That's the one that's going to heaven and going to be there forever. And going to get be like Jesus, whatever. That's the real you on the inside. And it's got something to say. But the problem is we walk in this world so much that we get so caught up with the naturalness of the world and what we see and the things going on around us and the problems and this and that and the other, that you get to being more naturally minded than spiritually minded. And, you know, we've heard that old saying, well, he's, you know, so spiritually minded, he's of no earthly good. But, you know, that's a far cry, far stretch. I've only seen that just that is not usually the case. Most of the time, everybody's so naturally minded that we never get any spiritual good. Right? Now, just go to Matthew chapter 6 and let's look at something here in the New Testament. Because I'm just going to kind of touch on some things tonight and then we can go back and study more. I want you to see that Jesus said, let's look at this, Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray. So he's talking about how you're supposed to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. So Jesus told us that we've got to pray for our daily bread. So there's a naturalness in you that's okay. In other words, you have daily, we all have daily needs. We have things that are just in the natural that you do need to pray about. Right? That your mind can see what you obviously need and you can pray it, and it may be your spirit man praying it, but it went through that faculty of your life of your body, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that's usually where we stay. I think most Christians' prayer life is just caught up going over their grocery list to the Lord. Right? I've used this example before, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you others can't believe it's ever true. There used to be a time when you could call the grocery store and just tell them what you wanted, and then that guy would bring them around in a box and bring you your groceries to your house. Didn't happen with us. We always lived in the country, and I was always amazed to see my grandmother do it. She'd call down there and say, I need some of this, need some of that, and then take it on the list, and then go put it in a box and bring it over to the house. Guy'd show up, was charged on an account, no money was ever transferred. I don't know if he got a tip or not. Probably not. Give him a cookie. So, you know, it's kind of like that. We in our natural mind, there is daily needs that we have that we've got to pray, but we've got to watch it, because sometimes all we're doing is praying out of our head of what we see and what our daily needs are, and we think that's all there is to prayer. And I'm telling you, you have not even touched the surface. You've not even got into prayer. You've not even got into what the spirit man on the inside of you really wants to do through you. All right? Another scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So there's still a place to pray, you know, and let your requests be made known. I'm not saying that's not what it is. I'm just saying that's just a piece. Another scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore I exalt first of all that supplication, prayers, and intercessions be given in and giving of thanks be made for all men and kings. So to pray for people as individuals, and to pray for, you know, the presidents and to, you know, law enforcement and military. That's all within what a Christian's supposed to do. Right? But just to include your grocery list and just to make your grocery list longer by adding all of this in there, I'm telling you, you're still missing it, because you're only praying within the dynamics that you understand. You're not stepping outside of the box. You're just putting in this box. Okay, well, we did it. Okay. Now, we've had some of these in the bookstore, and then I told them to take them down because I wanted to wait for this night or whenever I was doing this. This book, I don't know, has anybody bought this book already? Bethany Frazier's book, it's called First Love Prayer. Has anybody in here bought this yet? Okay, there was a few out, and I told them to put them up, so I was going to see. Okay, this is Ivan's daughter, Bethany, who's at Guatemala right now. And I knew she was writing this book, and I didn't really understand and know what the book was, because I thought it was like the book I wrote on praying the word. And I was in Guatemala, and they had just come out, and she had a copy, and she gave me one. And as I began to read through it, my spirit just began to jump on the inside of me, because she did something in here that I haven't seen done in books before. And what it was is it's a prayer of her spirit written down versus a prayer out of your head. Okay? And let me just give you an example. Well, hold on. Print small. This is just one I'm picking out here. It says, he delights in me. He opens his arms to hold me and squeeze me. Hear all my wild tales and imaginations. To listen closely to all my desires and all my dreams. The adventures I want to go on. The people I want to meet. He listens intently, nodding and jotting down every word, always making me feel like I'm his favorite, like I matter more to him than anything else in the world. So, therefore, I get his full attention because he loves me and takes joy in everything we talk about. Then I realize how much I've been talking all about me. I stop and I listen, and he talks to me. He talks about me, Because He loves me. He has plans for me. Big dreams. Big adventures. Wild. Impossible. Unimaginable things. That amaze and shock me. That blow me out of the water. To believe the plans He has in store for me. And to believe how much time He spends thinking about me. How can I doubt how much He loves me? Okay, now this book is just filled with, let me read another one to you. Many times I come to the place of desire, not knowing how to express my love for you. My desire to be near you and to know you more. I wish that I could express to you the way I feel for you in words that would touch your heart so deeply that you could truly feel my love. Each and every time I start to feel this desire for expression, I start to remember how well you know me. Every time I'm lonely, confused, remorseful, distraught, nothing can soothe me like you do because you know me so well. Now, when I read this book, the first thing that hit me when I read through it was that it reminded me of David writing the Psalms. And Psalm 63, let's look at that tonight. It says, this is David's, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you, and my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadows of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows closely behind you. Your right hand upholds me." This second type of prayer that I'm going to talk to you about and what I see in this book. And by the way, we got these books. We got them in the bookstore. They're $10 a piece. And I think we have 50 of them in there. So I encourage you at least get one per family. And you can read through them. And there's places to put notes in here. And this book will bless you. This book will give you some inspiration in your own life to start praying like I'm talking about. Because it's not a prayer that comes out of your head looking for things that you just look and see that you need. And supplications, intercession you're making just because you know you need to make it. And something has been brought to your attention. It's something that's down on the inside of you, down inside of your spirit, man. That's longing to put voice to. Y'all hearing me? I sometimes just get frustrated with praying, and all I'm praying is, just praying prayers of intercession for people or whatever. And I'm just going through the, because how do I know what to pray? Like you're praying, somebody's sick. Okay, well, Lord, but I don't know how the body works. Well, how am I supposed to pray specifically? Lord, I thank you that you need this, that, and whatever. I don't know how. I just got to pray. God, they need help. Help them, heal them, touch them, because I don't really know. But how much more wonderful to get in touch with the things that are going on the inside of you and the stirrings of you, the longings on the inside of you, and begin to let the Holy Spirit put voice to what you're sensing inside of your spirit, not just what's running through your head. Let me just throw some things out, okay? I'm just picking this out of the air. What if you were praying for somebody to be healed, but the real thing they needed to be healed of was, unforgiveness they had over here towards somebody. Now, Pentecostals, and we'll get into that about praying in tongues. You say, well, we just pray in tongues and intercede for that person. God works it all out. But how much greater to actually put voice to what God's stirring on the inside of you. Listen to me. We're talking about Solomon and all of the people knowing that if they, because God confirmed that prayer by his glory showing up, that meant that every person that walked in that temple and prayed, their prayer was answered. I don't know how God worked it all out. You know, I don't know if so-and-so was praying for it to rain, so-and-so was praying for it not to rain. I don't know how he worked all those kind of things out. But when they turned and walked into that temple and they knelt down up there, however they did it, and they offered a sacrifice and they prayed, they were fully confident that their prayer would be answered. And the Bible says in John 16 that he wants to dwell on the inside of us. He wants to become our dwelling place. You can go read John 14, 15, 16. It talks all about that you're the temple of the living God, that you're now the vessel. You're the place where the Spirit of God wants to come and live and dwell. He wants to come and live in you. You're not trying to beg him to come and live in you. He wants to come and live in you. You know, I heard a preacher preaching this the other day, and I don't even remember who it was. I don't remember who it was. Anyway, and he said a statement, and I thought, that is so right. That everywhere in the Bible, when people prayed, and it says, and suddenly the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind, and you know, and he filled the house, and other scriptures he was given talking about, you know, God coming and living and dwelling with you and wait. And that, but yet somehow or another, we got it all turned around where we've got to go and dwell and yearn and beckon and do it just right to get God to move. When the Bible, really, when you look through all the New Testament, God's wanting to move as soon as you open up the door to the house. But again, it's this confidence that we don't really believe that what God said he's going to do, he's going to do. That God would live and dwell in us. That really greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. To speak to the mountains and they would be removed and cast into the sea. Do y'all realize how much doubt the enemy has sown in religion throughout all the years to try to get us not to believe that the word's true? Years ago, just a couple of things that I'll share with you. Years ago, I was called by the nursing home. This has been a long time ago. But I was called by the nursing home. They called the office. I happened to be in the office. And they said, you know, Pastor, we have a lady that's over here and she's dying. And we just felt impressed to call you and ask you if you would come and say a prayer over her. And I'm like, what? I mean, why me? I mean, it's the whole Uvalde's full of preachers. Why are you calling me? And they said, well, we don't know. We just know that we were impressed to call you and this lady. We know that she doesn't have any church affiliation. Nobody knows her. And, you know, would you come? And so I said, okay. And so I go. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good in those situations. I've never been good in those situations. And so I don't know what to do. And I go in this room, and here's this lady, and she's laying in the bed. And I don't know who she is. Never seen her before in my life. Don't know her family. Don't know anything about her. And she's laying there in the bed, and she's in a kind of a comatose state. And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, what in the world am I going to do, you know? She can't talk. She can't respond. These nurses just want me over here, and they got more confidence than I do. I don't know what I'm even here for. And so I just pull up a chair and sit down beside her bedside there, and I'm just thinking, Lord, what am I going to, you know, what do I do? I mean, you know, I'm not religious enough to have any like holy oil and some water to throw and to sling around and say some prayer. I don't have a book of prayers to go by. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got any. I can't pull any rabbit out of my hat to even look like I know what I'm doing. And so I just sit there and I said, okay, well, Lord. I said, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here and pray. And so I just sat by my bed. Sometimes I thought, well, you know, I don't know if it's one. You know, I've always heard that if somebody's in a coma state or whatever, you know, that they still can hear. So I just got over there and started talking to her, found out what her name was and started talking to her. And I said, ma'am, you never have met me, but I'm Robert Richards, and you know they called me to come over here, you know, and they said you're about to, you know, meet your maker, and I don't know if you're saved or not. I don't know. Do you know Jesus? You know, and I said, but you know, you need to know Jesus, and I'm just talking like this to her, and so I said, well, look, I know you can't say anything, but you know, I know your spirit man's still in your body because you're still breathing, so your spirit man's got to be in there. So I know your spirit man can hear me. And so whether the flesh man's working or not, your spirit's still alive, and I know it can hear me. And so I'm just telling you right now, you know, you need to call out on the name of Jesus. And however this, I don't know all the details of how this works. I mean, I'm talking to her just like this. But I'm just telling you, I just know Jesus is a bigger God than, you know, you may know, and you may not have ever met him, but your spirit man right now is about to slip over into eternity, and he don't want to go to hell. So you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. So just right there to say, and I prayed a sinner's prayer with her. I said, right now, I'm just believing your spirit man is praying with me. And so I went through all of that, you know, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She didn't move. There's no response. So I'm thinking, man, I'm just losing it. You know, I'm in here praying with a woman and leading her through a sinner's prayer. Can't even move or speak, you know. And so I said, well, hell, I'm just going to sit down here and pray for a little bit more. And so I just began to sat down. And I just began to pray in the spirit. And I just sat there and prayed in the spirit for a while. And I got to be honest. I don't want to paint the picture any more glorious than it is. And I'd been up a few nights and been late nights. And I sat there and prayed. And I kind of got relaxed. And it was kind of warm in the room. And next thing I know, man, I'm dozing off. I mean, ain't nothing holy about it. I'm just falling asleep. I just got relaxed. I'd been there for a while, you know, and I got relaxed. I'm sitting in that chair, and I'm just, man, I literally go to sleep. And I'm just, I don't know how long I'd been asleep. I mean, I'm totally Z'd out. Sitting in this chair just. And in my sleep, all of a sudden, I sensed, I mean, I was just, in other words, not awoken. Is there a word awoken? I was awoken. Awakened. Sounded good when I first said it. And I was just awakened by knowing that Jesus was standing in the room. The power of God fell in that room so unbelievably strong. And I haven't done anything but sleep. And I mean, he just fell in that room. It was so thick. It was no doubt what had happened. And I looked over at the lady, and she wasn't breathing. And she had passed. And in a minute, a nurse came in. I'm sitting there. I'm frozen. And knowing Jesus is in there. And I looked over, and this lady walked in, and she had tears just running down her face. And she said, he's here, isn't he? She said, we could feel him out in the waiting room, or the nurse's station. And another one came in there crying. And they said, yeah, we know he's here. And I'm like, revival is in this place, and I've been asleep in the chair the whole time. They were confident that this lady, and all I know is scripture came to my memory, you know, what is it, Psalms 116, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, that he came for her. Now, whether she was already saved or what I did had anything to do with it, I don't know. Get to heaven and find that out. Another instance, I was in Mexico one time, and we were doing some services, and we'd been doing them in this really nice church, and then this pastor across town wanted us to come over there, and we went into his church. His church was real dark and real dingy, and it just was kind of creepy and didn't feel good at all, and I wasn't real comfortable, you know, and just what was going on. I was just walking around praying, saying, Lord, man, you got to come into this room and do something. I mean, this place feels like they've been, you know, killing cats in here or something. Lord, this place is terrible, you know. And I'm just praying, and it's a church. And we're praying over that church, you know. So I'm just going around praying and everything. And I'm supposed to speak in a minute. And so, you know, it just didn't feel right to preach. And so I was with Sister Annie, you know, and she's always on track. And so she looked at me and I said, man, I don't feel like it's right to preach. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I don't have any unction to stand up and speak a word. And so she said, well, hold on, let's just keep praying. Let's worship. We worshiped some more. And we prayed some more. Finally, I mean, she said, I just think we need to have an altar call. We just need people to come up here and we need to pray for them. Robert, you just need to come up here and lay hands on people. And I'm like, man, I don't even feel like preaching, much less laying hands on people. And what in the world, why would I want to do that? And so I thought, well, Annie, you're the boss. Whatever you say, I'll jump up here and I'll do the best to flow in the Holy Ghost. And so they're playing and they call, altar call, and they come up here. And I don't know, 6 or 8, 10 people line up across the front. And I walked up to the first person, lay my hand on them, start praying. And I feel nothing. I feel nothing. And the lady's looking at me. It's one of these times you're praying for somebody and they're just staring at you like, what do you got your hand on my head for? And you just want to say, I'm sorry I ever touched you. Please just forgive me. I'll go to the next person. I mean, that was the look I was getting from this person. It's like, what do you think you're doing? And so I finally couldn't take it anymore. You know, and I went to the next one and I laid hands on this person, you know, and I'm praying for them. They're looking at me the same way. Like, what is this? What are you doing? And I'm thinking, man, what in the world? You know, and I'm just all kind of nervous and it's just, you know, just not a good flow. I get to the next of a kid who's standing there about 16 years old. And I'll never forget, because a lot of times they go down there and somebody will go in there and they'll give away clothes. You know, they have T-shirts and all. They have American stuff written on them, but they can't read English and so they don't know what it says. And he had some real obscene T-shirt on. You know, he didn't know what it was. It said something really bad. I don't remember what it was. But I was thinking, that was a good shirt to wear at church, you know. And I laid hands on this kid. And when I just reached up, I mean, I had just laid hands on two people. I can still see their eyes piercing into my soul looking at them. When I laid hands on that kid, I just reached up there and just as simple, with no faith at all, because they'd stole it from me. I just touched this kid, and when I touched that kid, if I would have had 100,000 volts of electricity in my hand, that kid went back onto the floor, slid. And I was like, how did that happen? How could that have happened? And this kid began to just convulse on the floor. It began to scare me. I began to think, he's having some sort of a seizure, man. That ain't right. And he flopping around the floor like a fish out of water. And I was like, man, Jesus. So I felt bad. I mean, like, I felt like I had caused this. And so I go over there and I kneel down by this kid and I start laying my hands on him. Now I'm really praying. Now I'm really trying to muster up some faith. I'm really trying to pray because I'm thinking we got a serious problem on our hands. This kid isn't, you know, in some serious need of God to do something miraculous. And see, I'm trying to show y'all how by thinking in our heads, we can be so off. So I'm down there praying for this kid for whatever's happening to him to stop. Right? Because, I mean, it looks serious. And so he began to get a little calmer. And so in a minute, they got him up and they set him in a chair. And he's sitting there in a chair and he's holding on his throat. And he's just looking at me. And he's just like he can't move anything. And I said, I, you know, he's just panicked. He was really panicked. And so I said to somebody, I said, man, what in the world is going on with this kid? And they said, well, he can't talk. And I said, well, it's obvious he can't talk. He said, well, he could before you prayed for him. Now he can't. I said, what? You mean I've struck this kid mute? I mean, my Lord in heaven. I just laid hands on him. I didn't have any faith. I wanted to say, look, let's examine the situation here. I could not have done anything because I was not in faith. And this kid is just holding his throat in. I just looked at him, and I remember hearing the still small voice inside of me say, he's not saved. So I went to the kid, and I said to him, I said, let's get some translation going on here. But I said, just tell him. They said, well, he can't speak. I said, I don't care he can't speak. Just listen to me. Just say this to him. Just tell him, you know. And I went through a little salvation deal. And I said, now, say this with me. And he couldn't. And I said, you know, and I said, you know, make Jesus Lord. And as soon as I said amen, this kid's mouth opened up and he began to just speak and he began to prophesy. Now, when he began to speak out of his mouth, I mean, all the hair on my body stood up. I mean, it was his voice and the way he was enunciating, he's speaking in Spanish, but the way he was enunciating everything, you were saying, this kid is speaking higher than his level of education would allow him. And he was just speaking, he was prophesying. I was listening to what he was saying. And he was saying, I'm coming back. I'm coming back in a Navarrio. And he was talking about all these things and about what he was doing and Jesus. And he's coming back and it's time short and everybody needs to get right, whatever. Okay, so finally he stops. And I asked somebody, I said, who is this kid? They said, oh, well, that's the pastor's son. I said, really? I said, yeah, he left, got mad. He didn't like the church, didn't like Jesus. He left. He's been gone forever. He just came into church tonight for the very first time. And they all knew he was unsaved, and now he's saved. So I asked the kid, I said, what happened? He said, when I hit the floor, when you laid your hands on me, I hit the floor. I saw the floor opened up, and I saw hell. And I saw where I was going, and I knew I was not saved. And I was so scared. But the devil had hold of my throat and I couldn't even speak. And when you led me through the sinner's prayer and I prayed and I was saved, then everything was broken. All I'm saying is, the first two ladies took every ounce of faith out of me. Like I said, I can still see their faces and their eyes today. Never had I laid hands on a colder fish. And when I touched that kid, there was not an ounce of anything in me, in my head, in my, you know, whatever. I was wanting to go home. But there was something in the spirit. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that there's so much more in the realm of the spirit, and there's so much more in the things that take place that we have no idea about. And as long as we stay bound to our, and I'm not saying we go do crazy things, and we're going to get into all this, but as long as we're bound to just a rote prayer, my daily needs, my grocery list kind of prayer, and not listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, stirring you to utter things out of your mouth and pray things out of your mouth by his unction, we're always going to be bound into that natural realm. And David wrote all of the Psalms based upon this, sitting out there in the wilderness or on the pasture with the sheep, playing a harp, worshiping God and letting what was inside of him come out. And he wrote it down. Amen. There's so much more. There's so much more to the things of God than what we realize. Now, not any one of us does God limit it. He wants to live and dwell in all of us. Right? Now, there's some goofy, flaky people out there that say God tells them things to do and it's all kind of crazy and all kinds of stuff like that. But, you know, weigh it against the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word, don't do it. If it doesn't line up with two or three witnesses, don't do it. I have prayed for things in my life. I have prayed for things that I thought to myself after I prayed for them, now, why did I pray for that? Why was I praying like that? Why was I saying that? That didn't really have much logical sense to it. I have actually at times spoken to people, and in speaking to them, I realized that at some point I didn't know what I was saying. It wasn't coming through my logical brain. And all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, that was the Spirit of God speaking through me to you. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So if you've done that before, then what about prayer? Isn't it the same thing? Y'all with me? So I'm going to stop there. I got a bunch of other things I'm going to do, but I'm going to stop there. But look, I encourage you, and Miss Darlene, if you don't mind, if you'll just open the bookstore up for a little while afterwards, and if people want to come in there and get these, and like I said, they're just $10, and I think you'll really be blessed. I think you'll really be encouraged. You'll really be inspired. There's all kinds of things in here you can write down. Those pages, just write down notes and write down your own things. Write down your own thoughts. And then, you know, the next week I want to talk about getting scriptures to pray and different things you can do based upon who you are. Look at some things like that to kind of give you some direction. Amen? So is this good? This just give you a little confidence? Speak. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.